Aaron, how do you get the information that you follow up on? Does it come in from emails or private sources? How does it come to you?
It comes in mostly email. You know, this situation that's happening out in the Topok Golden Shores area, another hexachromium contamination, Pacific Gas and Electric. I got an email from a woman who had just moved out there. Retired from her job, and right away she had some notice on her door that there was some kind of problem with the water. And then she was involved in, like, the women's, you know, Rotary Club, and they were talking about the chemical and PG&E and Chrome 6. And she sent me an email, and here's the twist on this one. She said, I also need to let you know that I was the secretary to one of the defense counsels for PG&E on the first Hinckley case. I'm like, oh, my God.
Small
world. Are you kidding me? What a small world. So more often than not, email. People sometimes send me letters as well. There could be a community member that knows someone that knows me that will call me, and then I'll get back in touch with them. But mostly the Internet.
Tell me about this case in North Carolina at the military camp.
Oh, my gosh. Camp Lejeune. Oh, my gosh. This, I can't tell you how many emails I have. We're definitely doing some work on that. I know the senators from there are doing some work on that, but I don't know that enough is being done. Camp Lejeune is a situation where they had a very bad TCE contamination. And this is, it hits really hard home for me because I have two children serving in the United States Army, and I have one son who just returned home from Afghanistan in a very bad war. And he's one of few that made it back. And the idea at Camp Lejeune that these men and women who really volunteer and will sacrifice their life to ensure the safety, they believe this is what they're doing of their country and defending it, and they go out and they serve one and two and three tours of duty, and they come home and they get poisoned on their own soil, for me, is inexcusable. And that's exactly what's happening there. Generation after generation, this TCE contamination went on and contaminated the drinking water well of everybody that lives on that base. And I am dumbfounded at the scad and the numbers of people reporting to me. Please help us. I'm a young soldier returning from two deployments. I've lived here for 10 years, and I've now been diagnosed with this cancer. So families coming back and saying, now I know why I had these stillborns in the 70s and the 80s. No one told us. I mean, there's a report out there, and I have yet to put my hands on it, but I've heard it's there, from the agencies from Toxic Substances and Disease Registry. And there's an estimate that over 10,000 people stationed at this facility could come down with cancer. Are you kidding me?
That's crazy.
And so Camp Lejeune is something I'm going to get more involved in. I'm in talks with some news agencies, specials, to run a special on what's happening. And I do know that the government is somewhat involved in trying to help, but it's a process that's going way too slow. A lot of people aren't being identified. A lot of people are coming to me. There's very few attorneys involved because it's Department of Defense. They just don't want to touch it. And I just think it is a story that has to be told. And really, for our men and women, to, they leave their families, they feel safe at that base, to come home, they make it home, and their families have been poisoned, and young people with cancer and disease is despicable. I would not be proud to be from this country and tell you that's happening, but it is, and Camp Lejeune is very disturbing.
That's a huge story, Aaron.
Yes, and it's one that we need to be looking at and paying attention to, and, you know, it's just, It's time for all the finger pointing to stop, and we have got to do something to rally around these men and women and help them in any way that we can, and get, make sure they have clean water, move the base, clean it up. And here again is the problem. This has gone on for years, and they didn't even know it. Somebody knew it.
What's going on in West Palm Beach, Florida?
West Palm Beach, Florida. Well, there's a lot of stuff going on in West Palm Beach, Florida. I was most recently down there for deodorant contamination in a community called DeLand. And there's six other communities reporting as well that it's pesticide. And, you know, here it is 20 years later. And there's a couple of ways that that can happen. It's manufactured and used as a pesticide. And it's also used in termination, termite control. And it seeps into the groundwater, and it pops up in people's wells unsuspectingly, and they drink it for years. There's another situation down in West Palm Beach called the Acreage, where the community came to us, and it always starts grassroots mother. They were at a doctor's office with a child that had cancer, and then they realized that there was two and three other neighbors there. Now we have over 20 kids with these brain tumors. The numbers are higher than that, but I don't. Without looking specifically at it, I don't want to misquote any number. But the state came in. They said that there was a pediatric brain cluster. Then they kind of retracted from it. The law firm was involved. There was some kind of legal conflict. So I believe a local attorney has it now. They're close to Pratt Whitney, but we were ever really never able to identify what the source is, but there's something wrong there. There's some issues with their two nuclear facilities down there. There was a study done not too long ago. It's actually called the Tooth Fairy Study, about babies in and around that facility, those two nuclear facilities down in that area, having a higher instance of radioactive material in their teeth, their baby teeth. I mean, so there's definitely some problems there, and you might have been referring to just the Acreage, but there is a large number of children there with brain tumors, and I've been down there several times investigating. I'm a little stumped on that one.
It's got to be frustrating.
It's very frustrating. And sometimes you can't prove it. Sometimes you can prove it. But, again, if we don't look at what it could be, and if we can't find what the source is to try to do something to help the health and welfare of this community, sometimes I just feel like I could pull my hair out, and I wish that I always had an Einstein moment or something comforting to say to people, and I don't always have that answer or solution, and I find myself frustrated. But then again, a lot of times what they're looking for, and they'll say to me, is it's just nice that somebody even listened. It's just nice that we even went through this, and these are people who have lost a child or have a child with cancer, but still can say to you, thank you for at least listening. Thank you for coming out here, and thank you for getting the state to even look at it. And I don't know if agencies are overburdened and understaffed, and frankly, they're underfunded and they're flat out broke. But sometimes it isn't always about finding the answer for them. Sometimes it's just about extending your hand out of kindness and respect and appreciation for your neighbor.
Exactly.
We don't do that anymore.
When you talk about cancer clusters, explain that. Exactly what does that mean?
Well, I mean, the CDC and other agencies will have a different way of how they identify cancer clusters. What I'm doing is, again, it's a people's reporting registry. So the CDC could have they never find a disease cluster because they have this census track where they think that this particular type of cancer would be seen in 220 people in the community. And if they don't see 220 people in the community, well, therefore, there's not a problem. But yet they might not be finding everybody that has that same cancer, but they've moved to another location and is able to put them back to that place. Now, I've done some work with Senator Boxer and her environmental committee. And I actually spoke to this committee up on the Hill, and they are trying to pass what's called Trevor's Law. And Trevor's Law is a beautiful young man who is from Idaho who had a brain tumor. And he identified, I think there's about 10 or 12 other children that had the same brain tumor he did. And he's the only one that beat it. And he's going to make it his life's work for these agencies to find these children, because a lot of times they'll have some reports, but they don't have a way for the system to pull all of those same cancers into one location so that they could even possibly say, this is a cluster. And a cluster is just more people than expected. with the same disease in a certain area.